CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ on CBS Sky Radio. Today we have Dr. Bernie Siegel, who has been at the forefront of spiritual and medical ethics issues of our day. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with you today and with CJ and Dr. Siegel. And if you'd like more information on our guests, you can go to fireitupwithcj.com, and CJ has his bio there, and you can get more information on him and his new book that's out that we're talking about today.
Well, thank you, Cassandra. So we're talking about Dr. Bernie Siegel's book, The Art of Healing, who I'm not going to refer to him as Bernie, which is his preferred way of being called, named. That was the most awkward way of saying that.
Okay. That was good.
All right. So during the break, Bernie and I were talking about, you know, a lot of the stories in his book, they're absolutely true. I believe them. But I think a lot of people are skeptical about this kind of, it, like as you described, doctors would call it spontaneous remission or miracles or, you know, but I think a lot of people are skeptical when they hear of people who have cancer and that are all of a sudden cured. You know, they do some type of visualization or art therapy or visualization and boom, the cancer is gone. And I think there are a lot of incredulous folks about that, that feel that way. And so what I thought we would do in this segment is first address any of you who may be out there and skeptics as well. So welcome back, Bernie.
Thank you.
So what would you say to the skeptics out there? They're like, yeah, I don't believe this guy. And he's even a surgeon, and he's telling us stuff. It's irresponsible.
I don't want to wish it on anybody, but I'd say to all the skeptics, get sick and then try what I'm talking about and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Now, this is Dr. Sidney Winawer wrote a book called Healing Lessons. I got a copy of it. He's a doctor down at Sloan Kettering in New York. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading it, and it's when his wife developed cancer. And I come to a page where it says, I want to apologize to Dr. Bernie Siegel. So I thought, what's he talking about? You know, it never caused me a problem. I didn't even know who he was. I call him up. I said, why are you apologizing to me? You know, because I liked his book, to make a comment about it. He said, I was apologizing to you for what I used to think of you. Mm. He said, now that my wife has cancer, you are a big help. You know, you're in the living room with us. You know, my books and CDs and things of that sort. See, why? Because now he's living in experience. And that was something else I wanted to mention. When people come to me, I don't just treat their diagnosis. I say, what are you experiencing? What's it like to have this? See, imagine somebody coming in and saying, failure. I say, how does failure fit your life? Well, my body failed me. I have cancer. I said, that's not my question. How does failure fit your life? Oh, my parents committed suicide when I was a child. That must have been a failure as a child. Mm. See, that statement changed her life. But this is a woman fearful of relationships. I don't want to get hurt again. I mean, she, you know, had a wall around herself to protect her. I mean, as she said to me, I know people's names, but I don't go any further. Mm. And see, that's part of what I'm treating. And what I've learned is when you heal lives, physical benefits are also derived from it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can tell you about people. I always share this story because it was so crazy and funny in a sense. Here's a guy who says, I'm going to Colorado to die. We're in Connecticut with Cancer Support Group. He said, it's beautiful there. I want to die in the mountains. I tell the family, call me when he dies. I'm coming to the funeral. A year goes by. I don't get a phone call. I was really upset that they didn't pay attention to me and my feelings. So I called up to criticize them and say, why didn't you call me when he died? But he answered the phone. So I said, what's going on? He said, oh, so beautiful here. I forgot to die. And then the two of us are laughing. And I have letters that end with, you know, I was told I would die in 2 months, and I agreed with my doctor. So I went home, and I bought a dog, put it in a backyard wildlife habitat, laughed more, took some vitamins, and the letter ends with, I didn't die, now I'm so busy, I'm killing myself. Help, where do I go from here? And I told her to take a nap. So, again, the skeptics haven't lived the experience. And this is something I really tell people, and I do in my own life. If you told me, here's some wonderful treatment for your headache, your cancer, whatever it is, I would say, all right, let me try it. And if it worked, okay, it's worked. I experienced it. Say, I mean, it's not because I believed in it. I'm testing it. If it, then it works, I say I've experienced it. Even if I can't explain why it worked, it did. So I say to people, live by your experience. Don't let your beliefs limit your life. And unfortunately, because of what I call medical information and not a true medical education, as doctors, we don't believe in a lot of things because they are not part of a true education. You know, we were taught about disease. So I always say that we treat the body now, always. It's something that came to me recently. A house, you know, we have a house. Something goes wrong in the house, I call the appropriate person, electrician, plumber, roofer, okay? And that's what's happening to people and their bodies. The medicine is treating the body like a house. You need a cardiologist. You need a kidney doctor. You need an infectious disease, you know? But we need to treat the whole person. We're not a house, if you know what I mean. We have lives. We have emotions. We have feelings. We're a unit. We're not pieces. So we need to treat the human being and their life experience. And that's, again, part of why the drawings. I have never met a doctor, say, who has been told while in medical training that Carl Jung interpreted a dream and diagnosed a brain tumor correctly. Now, I think every medical student should be told that. So you say to patients, do you have any intuitive feeling? Have you had any dreams, you know, to tell you anything about what's going on? And it shows physical as well as emotional, which you see most art therapists don't know anatomy. So they don't see what I see in a drawing. And when I first did a drawing myself years ago for Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, again, that's what woke me up, the reality. I thought this is all, you know, crazy. What's a drawing? I drew an outdoor scene that I created for a meditation. And she started asking me questions about my life. And I thought, how does she know all this? It's just a picture. But just so people have an example, I mean, one of our first questions was, Bernie, what are you covering up? And it was all my emotions and feelings as a doctor. It's part of why I went to her workshop. And she, I said, why are you asking me that? She said, Bernie, this is a white page. You made a mountain with snow on it, but you took a white crayon and added a layer to the, you know, to the paper. And it didn't need it. It's white already. So what are you covering up? You put an extra layer on. And boy, by the time she was done, you're darn right. I went back to the hospital with a box of crayons and started learning, and then it was all consistent. See, I thought I was learning things that nobody else knew. So I sent articles to medical journals, came back. Interesting, but not appropriate for a medical journal. Sent it to appropriate, you know, psychology and art therapy journals. Yes, it's appropriate, but it's not interesting. We know all this. That blew my mind. That, again, in medical training, nobody ever told me any of this.
Yeah,
that's
and I
when
think
I began to contact other therapists and learn more about Carl Jung and a whole host of others and, you know, the books that had been written, because you see past, present, and future in all these drawings.
Yeah, and I think actually that, and that's the thing that I think actually is important is that you're, what you're doing is you're saying you're a whole person, which means that your emotions, your feelings, your mind, all of those things are interrelated. And just for folks who haven't read the book, what Bernie is referring to is that he actually goes in with patients and has them actually, as a result of doing your work with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, was your friend as well, in that you use art therapy, dreams, and visualization, which are all the works of psychotherapists, but you use it to get a sense of the whole person and how that whole person can be treated, and if there may be some repressed ideas or thoughts that actually
need to
be actually the cause.
Just think of it to help people make decisions. I mean, if you you said, I'm going to have surgery tomorrow, and I said, draw yourself in the operating room. And what one lady drew was a black box.
Yeah, not good.
Not a single person is in the room taking care of her. Nobody's outside, you know, waiting for her, her family. I said to her, don't. Or get a new doctor or change, you know, the hospitals. She said, no, no, I like the doctor. I said, then you've got to change your image. I said, right. You go home, and 4 or 5 times a day, I want you to visualize yourself going to the hospital, doing well, waking up, comfortable, hungry, going home quickly, et cetera. And a week later, I had him draw another picture. It was gorgeous. I mean, the room is filled with doctors. God's light is shining in the window. Outside the room is her family and her husband and everybody. I mean, it's a beautiful picture.
Right. And she recovered better, right? Right? She ended up probably recovering. My guess is that she actually had a better recovery.
Oh, yeah. Then I don't worry about her going. I mean, other people have drawn the surgeon without a mask on, you see, embracing them, love God, flowers are growing in the operating room. Yeah, I mean, and I mean this literally. I did major surgery on people. They'd wake up and say, yeah, I'm a little sore, but I don't have any pain. And the nurses would look at me and say, why are they refusing medication? I say, did it ever occur to you they're not hurting?
Yeah.
Because they look at you like, what are you, crazy? You just did major surgery and you're telling me they're not hurting. But, I had to learn that too. They were in a different state of mind. And so their body was different. Let me mention this because when you do it with
I'm sorry. Can we actually talk about it during the break? Because we have to take a break right now. We'll be right back, I promise, to talk about it.
All right, a drink and break.
Okay, a drink and break. We'll be right back.